Good morning. Reading God's Word today, we turn to 1 Corinthians 1, the end of the chapter. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Verse 30 has quite a list of things that we get from God through Christ. In particular, that verse identifies Jesus himself as our wisdom from God. That's an unusual thing to say. Normally, when you gain wisdom, it's in the form of information understood, valuable life lessons and experiences gained, skills developed. It's not normally a person. Unless, of course, the person in question is your God and Savior, Jesus. When it comes to the biggest problem we all have, the most urgent need that we all face, the most crucial moment yet to come for all of us still here in this world, Jesus will be the only right answer, the only solution that works. Dealing with the problem of our sins, getting right with God, these were never meant to be do-it-yourself propositions, as some people think. It's the opposite of wisdom, foolishness, to believe that anyone could earn his or her way into heaven, or that the burden of our sins is no big deal. You, on the other hand, have the wisdom of Christ. Once you know and believe the truth of Christ crucified and risen. In fact, we can plug Jesus in as the answer to some very important questions, starting with this one. What does God expect of me? Or to rephrase a bit, are you supposed to be perfect? Well, consider what Jesus did as your substitute. When he became man on earth, he took on all the obligations, every requirement that God placed on Adam and Eve, Moses and the Jewish people, plus all the Gentiles, you and me. When Jesus kept those commandments of God perfectly, it was more than the standard, more than the example of what God expects from each one of us. That perfect life of Christ was done for you and was meant to have the same effect as this impossible analogy. I'm thinking of a multi-billionaire earning all of his money and then depositing the entire amount into the empty account of a bankrupt person. Imagine it. Well, you don't really have to, because Jesus is that billionaire. You are the bankrupt person, and because of Christ, your account with God is perfectly full. The Bible calls that your righteousness. Now let's track how it relates to the question of justice. I'm talking about justice from God's point of view with this question. Doesn't God punish my sins and settle up the debt I owe him? Again, we look at Jesus, this time on the cross, after living a perfect life, he suffers what our sins deserve. Why is that? He endured such horrible pain, death by crucifixion, and the God-forsaken agony of hell, no less, all as a sacrifice. It was part of the plan, part of your wisdom and righteousness from God. That sacrifice was, is, the full payment of what I owe to God and what you owe to God. Well, how do we know it's true? How do we know it's true? Again, we look at Jesus, this time noticing an empty tomb. He's not there in the grave. He's risen from the dead, which has to mean that the sacrifice worked. God accepted that payment and has declared all of us, the whole world, to be debt-free. Think of that. All of our sins forgiven. Nothing held against us. More than that, by raising Jesus from the dead, God has given us the wisdom of knowing how things will turn out for us and for all the believers who have died before us. In that victory of Christ, we see a preview of our own future. You and me, risen from the grave, with glorified bodies, souls, hearts, and minds, going to the throne of God to bask forever in His presence. How incredibly valuable is that? In Christ Jesus, you become better than book smart, better than street smart. You become heaven smart. Now you can expect the world to scoff at this wisdom of your faith. Paul talks about the wise and mighty of this world who continue to belittle what we believe, what we hope for, what we expect to be true. But one day, rest assured, God will vindicate your wisdom by sending Jesus in person to judge those who reject Him and to bring home all those who are in Him. That's the key to it right there. We need to be in Christ Jesus, which simply means that you and I continue to believe in Christ as our salvation. As that kind of a believer, as people in Christ, we can expect that on a daily basis, God sees Jesus, His Son, when He looks at you and me. God does not see the sins and the failures. He sees perfection. He sees people who please Him all the time because Jesus became your righteousness. When you have that by faith, you are in Christ and you have everything that really matters. You have God Almighty as your Heavenly Father. You have His home in heaven as your final destination, your inheritance. You have the light of His Word guiding the way, all because of Jesus, who is your wisdom in the present and your hope of future glory. Amen. Let us conclude our worship singing hymn 355, all stanzas. Hymn 355.
open hands.